Okay, so we're on Chav Vav Amud Beis. We had begun the question last time about this idea of Muktzel Chati Shabbos, right, if something starts Shabbos being Mutter, and then over the course of Shabbos it becomes unusable for some reason, like it's the fruits that you left up to dry, and then it rains on Shabbos, and now it's wet, and it's not usable, and then later they dry, and then the question is, do we say that since they were Muktzel for part of Shabbos, they remain Muktzel for all Shabbos or not? So that was the Gemara's question of Yesh Muktzel Chatzi Shabbos or Ein Muktzel Chatzi Shabbos. So now the Gemara is going to start asking questions and trying to bring proofs to try and answer that question, whether we say Yesh Muktzel or Ein Muktzel. The first question and then proof is something that we've gone through a number of times, so I'm just going to sort of read through that so we can read it inside, and then we're going to talk primarily about the following proof after that. So first, just to read quickly through the proof that we've discussed, just we haven't read it inside here. We talked about it earlier. The Gemara says, Esvei, it's the last word on the line. It's about between half and two-thirds of the way down. So, Esvei. So first of all, they originally answered the question by saying, Yesh Mukta. Yesh Mukta l'chati Shabbos, that once it's Mukta for a part of Shabbos, it remains Mukta for all Shabbos. So, Esvei, v'shavin, shim nolad umumo imo. So if the Bechor is born, and it has a mum as soon as it's born, right? The second it's born, it already has a mum with on it. Shazemin hamuchan. So it's mutter, it's not muktzah. So the Gemara says, V'yamai, why is that? Neima hai bechor mei kara hava chazi agav imei. Originally, when the bechor was still in its mother, so it was mutter, because you could have shechted the mother and eaten the mother animal and also the bechor. So it was mutter when Shabbos started. Is yirid rei, when the bechor was born, idchi rei, so then it became unusable, because you haven't yet assessed whether or not it's a mum kavua or a mum over. So ach yirid chacham, ishtri rei, and then you show it to a chacham, and it becomes mutter. So even though there was a time in the middle when it was unusable, we still say that once the Chacham says that it's a mum kavua, so it's mutter. So seemingly, ein mukta. So how could he have answered that yesh mukta l'chati Shabbos when we see from here ein mukta? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abayi v'teimer Rav Safra kigon diyasvi dayanei hasam. We're talking about a case where the judges, the Chacham, was sitting right there, and as soon as the animal came out, so he said it's a mum kavua. So there was never a time on Shabbos when it was unusable. It was usable in the mother, because it could have shechted the mother and eaten the kid. And then it was usable as soon as it came out, because the Chacham immediately saw it come out and said it's a mum kavua. So then the Gemara just presents this proof. Yeah.
Isn't that a little bit odd? I mean, was he there by coincidence, or was he asked to stay there so he could husk him as soon as the animal came out?
I guess it's more likely to have it planned, but I guess either way.
Well, wouldn't that be Esther? To have it planned?
Why would it be Esther? What would the problem be?
Because I thought the Rav Shimon
Aimro and Moomin.
Yeah, so I mean that would be like basically pre-planning Rav and Moomin.
Right. So yeah. So I guess it's not you're not allowed to do this lechatchila, and we're just discussing its mukta status if a person went ahead and did it. Right.
So he just happened to be there. In other words, I guess if you want to do it according to him, he just happened to be there.
Yeah, but the truth is, yeah, you have to say he happened to be there, and even if he was there, though, we're still going to have a problem. How is he allowed to look at it and say that it's okay? Unless you say, like Rashi did at the top of the Amud, unless you say, like the Rashi that we saw, that if it never had a Chezkas Isser, then it wouldn't be a problem of being Rohan Mumin. If you say like that, then it would be okay.
But I think the Chezkas Isser, that never had a Chezkas Isser, is exactly what you just wrote now. Okay. And it's what Rav Steigelt says here. Okay. That it never had a second that it was ever without the moon. In other words, because you had them, in other words, I think the way when Sam was here and I was trying to explain what was happening with the before, I think we had it wrong.
Okay.
And it actually is, anytime a before is born, the cheskat is that it is usur.
Okay.
And this is the exception to the rule that you have the dayani, because it never had a second that it was Usher.
Right. Yeah. Rashi does use this to avoid the problem of the Isser of Rohan Mumin. The Gemara here uses it to avoid the problem of Muktzel Chatzi Shabbos. But Rashi uses it to avoid the problem of the Isser of Rohan Mumin. So,
right.
Yeah.
But they're both using it for the same thing in the sense of saying that it was never Usher.
Okay.
Rashi doesn't use Muktzel. But it's the same thing, that it was never about Chezkas Isser.
Right. True. So it does have a Chezkas Isser when it's born. Unless it's seen right away by a chacham.
I think that's the way it works.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So if it's not seen, what's the basis of the cheskas iser? Is it
It's a bechor.
Yeah, but what do we base the assumption that it's going to be a tamim? You know, a chazaka, mm-hmm. the definition of a chazaka, right, is that if we don't know what it is, we assume that it was like it was before and no changes happen, right?
Right.
That's the definition of a chazaka.
Right.
So here it's one big I don't know, and we don't even know what it was before.
Right.
I mean, unless... You know, is there a row that we can base it on, or is there some other?
It's the halacha bechor is a bechor is aser. So it's the other way around. It's cheska of iser until you have a mumcha that looks at it and says otherwise. So the status, even if it came out with a mum, the status is it's aser until a mumcha has the dina on it. That it's permissible.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm trying to split that into a hair. The reason that you say that it's a cheskas usher, because it's also a cheskas tamen, right?
No. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying the halacha before is.
No, I know what you're saying. I'm saying that.
Okay.
I hear the question. Why is it before of a cheskas iser? Is it because there's some type of assumption that it's a tamim, or even without the assumption that it's a tamim? I mean, I hear the debate that you're having. There's also a question. I don't know.
By definition, it's usur unless proven otherwise. That's what you're saying.
Correct. I sort of looked up the Rambam and other things after Shir. So the direction is that the reason why b'day avad things are usur is because there's an actual gzeira. So that's why lechatchila never comes into the issue. And that regarding the Bechor, I know Sam and I gave all these explanations on how it works for Bechor, but they appear to be wrong, where it's just simple, it's Asuk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's also just an additional food for thought. I don't know how this is going to tie in. I need to think about it more. But there's a discussion about whether a chazaka of a parent can be applied to a child. So I'm just wondering if somehow we could use that to create a tzchezgas Bechor, even though it wasn't born yet, and we don't yet know if it's a tamim. In addition to the reason that you're suggesting, perhaps that could help. I don't know. I just need to think about that more. Just putting it out, food for thought. Right. Fine. So, the Gemara says that Yasvei Dayanei Asam, and therefore there was never a time when it was Asr, and therefore that's why it's Mutter when the Chacham says that it has a mum, and it's not a problem with Muktzal Chatzi Shabbos. So now, Ikka the Amri, there are those who say the proof the other way. Amarei Ein Muktzal Chatzi Shabbos, that the answer he originally gave was Ein Muktzal Chatzi Shabbos, even if it's not usable for a time, once it becomes usable, so then it's Mutter again. So Reima Misayayarei, now the Gemara is going to bring a proof for that approach, the same Raisa, Veshavin, Shem Noah, Dumumo Imo, if it's born together with the Mum, Shazem and Hamuchan, so it's Mutter. So the habachor may kara habachazi agavime. Originally, it was mutter when it was inside the mother. Isyilrei idchirei. Once it's born, so then it's not usable because we're afraid it, right? It might be a bechor with adamum. Aksiel chacham. Once you show it to the chacham ishrirei, then it becomes mutter, and we say that it's mutter. So that supports his point that ein muktzal chati shabbos. So Amar Abayi, Vitamer Rav Safra, we reject that proof. Kagon de Yasvei de Anei Hasam. It could be that the judges were sitting right there, the Chacham was right there, and therefore was never Mukta for any time on Shabbos, and that's why it's Mutter. But perhaps if it really was unusable for a time on Shabbos, maybe then we would say Yesh Mukta, so we can't bring this as a support for what he wanted to claim that ain't Mukta.
Okay, but that would only be, that other explanation would only be according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Shimon, in that case, it would still be Aser. So in other words, if even the day of Ad, you bring the Dayanim to look at it, it's still Aser.
Because even if the Dayanim are sitting there and they see it?
No. In the case
where you bring the Dayanim.
You bring the the second case that they gave as a way of explaining that there is Muksa for part of the day, that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Shimon, that wouldn't work because he says that it's still Aser.
Right, because Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed to be Roe and Mumin, and a person who violates that Isser of being Roe and Mumin, it's going to be Aser B'dieved, at least according to Rashi, who doesn't get onto the discussion of Muktzah. And again, we had the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos on Amud Aleph about why Rabbi Shimon says it's Aser B'dieved. Rashi says for violating the Isser of being Roe and Mumin, it would be Aser B'dieved. And Tosfos says, no, violating the Isser of being Roe and Mumin doesn't Aser B'dieved, it's only Aser B'dieved because of Muktzah. So if you say, like Rashi, that when someone violates the Isser...
Does Rabbi Shimon say B'di'evet it would be Mutar?
Rabbi Shimon says B'di'evet it's Aser. Presumably Rabbi Shimon holds B'di'evet it's Aser. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that this explanation would work. Rabbi Shimon would say even B'di'evet it's Aser. I think so.
You're saying not in the case of the Dayanim are sitting there, but when you call the Dayanim
right.
later.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so Rabbi Shimon would say that that's Aser,
right.
And there are two reasons why Rabbi Shimon could say that that's Aser, either according to Rashi, because of the violation of the Isser of being Roi Mumin, and the Chazal goes there that if you violate that Isser, so it's Aser B'di'eved, or according to Tosfos, the reason why Rabbi Shimon asks B'di'eved is because of Mukta. So right, for either one of those two reasons, it would be Aser if the Dayanim were not watching as it came out. Yeah.
But are we so certain that even if it was a consonance, then he Paskin in that situation, if Dayan happened to be staying and happened to be sitting there, that Rabbi Shimon was so old that it would be okay?
Rabbi Shimon would hold it would be Mutter. Yeah, because well, that's what Rashi explained in the Braisa. What was the Gemara's lashon in the Braisa? The Gemara said the top line in the right. The top line here on Amud Beis, the last one on the line, Veshavin Veshavin Shem Novad Hu Mumo Imo Shazem in Hamuchan. So Rashi says in the first column, the end of the second line, Veshavin Aval Bezol Hayu Modim Cholkim Shalafaneinu Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. They both agree Shem Novad Hayom Mumo Imo Shazem in Hamuchan. And the reason why is because there's no problem of tikkun or din, because it never had a cheskas iser. So, and the reason why Rashi knows that it's mutter even lechad chiyuah in this case is because the Braisa right broke it down into three categories. Right, the Braisa had one category where it said ein mevakrin oso biyantif, that lechad chiyuah you're not allowed to check it out on yantif, but b'di'evet would be mutter. And then this other category of Noah Bomum Biyantif, then Ein Zemen Amucha, and then Rabbi Shimon says it's also even B'di'evet. So then for the fact that we have a third category of Noah Hu Mumo Imo, and we've already discussed Asr even B'di'evet and Mutter B'di'evet, so Rashi assumes that this third category is Mutter even L'chachila. That's how Rashi, right, learned that out.
How do you define Cheskas Iser?
Well, that's part of the debate that we were having. Is it because we assume that it's going to be a tamim, or it starts out as a tamim, or is it just even if it's not a tamim, just the fact that it hasn't yet been checked out by a chacham, that already gives it a cheskas eser? So I guess those are the options. Okay, fine, good. So those were the proofs back and forth from our case of Nolad Hu Mumo Imo. That's presumably why this sugya of Yesh Mukta in Mukta Chatzi Shabbos is being brought here in the Gemara in the first place. But once the Gemara is on the topic, so now it continues to try to bring proofs to the idea of Yesh Mukta in Mukta. So Tashma, Haya Ochel Ba'anavim, person's eating grapes, V'hosir V'heron Ragag, he had some leftovers and he puts them up on the roof, Lasos Mehen Smukin, in order that they should become raisins, or B'te'enim, a person is eating figs, V'hosir V'heron Ragag, Lasos Mehen Grogros, and he brings them onto the roof in order to make dried figs. So Lo Yochal Mehen Ad She'yazmin Mibod Yom, he can't eat them on Shabbos until he prepares them from before Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to try and figure out what exactly the case is. The same thing is true by, I think, peaches, and I saw chavushin translated as quinces. I'm not exactly sure what a quince is, some type of fruit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're not
so,
the other fruit. If you're Hungarian, you know what
it is. I don't know. I'm not Hungarian.
No possible.
They're
like
peaches.
They look like
apples.
They're like
apples.
They're parsnips. That's what I think.
You're supposed
to
cook quinces.
There were no peaches. My mom used to cook them with the persimmons.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Persimmons?
Yeah, persimmons. That's what it is.
What's a persimmon? Which one?
Parsimmons. Parsicin. There's no peaches. There were no peaches in those days.
The Raze Rashi here is Parsikis. In my Gemara, they say Perish Afarsikin. What's Afarsikin?
That's what I said.
But it's modern-day peaches.
What is
I thought it was peaches.
It's modern-day peaches. Modern peaches. Yeah. That's the
peaches. Yeah. Usually translates it. What is it?
Is it in Greek? I can read it.
It sounds like
yeah, okay. My eyesight starts going across from my hip.
Is there a picture?
Your glasses. No picture.
He usually has a...
It's not
French. I mean, my Gemara says translates the Lazi Rashi into a Farsi again.
Yes. Yeah, okay, but that's the modern way. It doesn't mean it's the...
No,
it no peaches in those days.
Okay.
Definitely
Fine. So I guess whatever teacher equivalent they used to
Rashi
have.
Rashi on the Chumash says he thinks it means pistachios, if you like.
Pistachios?
Pistachios, yeah.
He doesn't explain it at all. He just says fruit left to dry.
Okay, fine. You know, I thought it was the same thing as the word afarsikin we would use nowadays, because the Lazei Rashi in my Gemara says afarsikin, but that doesn't mean that the Lazei Rashi in my Gemara was necessarily academic enough to know what they had in those times.
This Hamatarium today?
Yeah.
This is that Hamatarium. Could be. I don't see it. Parsica. No, you're right. Prunus parsica. Peaches. Parsica.
Okay. Cool.
Prunus parsica, which is much closer to this.
So yeah, so the Lazei Rashi was right. I was just reading the Lazei Rashi.
Prunus parsica. Prunus?
Prunus. Well, that's
the
next time
in
order.
Wouldn't prunus be plums?
On the fruit and vegetables in the Middle East 1,000 years before he lived.
Right, he didn't see these things, so...
he would have no, it would be foreign to him.
Right, he probably didn't see what these things were, So fine, so that's why there's a whole discussion apparently, but we normally assume what the five species of grain are, but there's a Rav Schechter from YU, quotes Professor Felix maybe, I forgot the person's name, who says, argues that one of them is really something else.
Yeah, we saw something, we did, but Robert really said the whole thing about certain things and not really that. Oats is a big
I don't think it's
maybe that's what it was.
Felix. I think it's a different Rabbi Rabinowitz that basically said that it's not oats, because oats doesn't have the gluten, and it's another form of wheat. Friedman, or Rabbi Friedman. But the Psak Halacha is, despite the fact that we think it's wrong, we still go by with what the Bavli says it is.
Okay, that's because of the minog. That's what we've been doing. So.
Fine. Rabbi Gamliel says, hey, mid-school, the Svara, and after school, the Masara, something like that. That Rabbi Gamliel got the Tirah Shel HaChodesh.
Okay.
That when the Masara contradicts Re'iya, you go by the Masara anyway.
I saw something so interesting recently in a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, also talking about like Kiddush HaKodesh type things, so there's a calendar that was created by Shmuel, and the Chazon Ish says that the calendar created by Shmuel is slightly off in terms of the astronomy. It's like very close, but it's slightly off. So the Chazon Ish said, it's not a problem, we can still follow it, because I thought this was amazing. He says, whatever we're supposed to accomplish by fulfilling the Torah and Mitzvahs can be fulfilled even by being slightly off in those calculations. So I don't know when you say that, when you don't. No one's going to say like, well, so I'm 10 minutes late for Shabbos and I'm driving my car. You know, like in certain circumstances, no one's going to say that. So I don't know when you say that, when you don't. But I thought it was interesting that the Chazon Ish is, saying that with regard to that, at least, even if, there's an imprecision, it's okay.
I heard somebody share, I remember who was, that in fact, the car, being a few minutes late, you don't have to worry so much because we're off anyways.
Interesting. Also, you've had Rabbeinu Tam throw a line. I'm not saying that halacha l'maisa. same way that people rely on Rabbeinu Tam motzi Shabbos, but I'm not saying that l'maisa. But just
there was a Rebbe where I lived that on Friday night, sometimes he'd come out at the mikveh with his pants dripping wet, and sometimes with a hammer in his hand, it was after the astronomical shkia, because he just went with Rabbeinu Tam. Which is half an hour after the Shkia, everyone else.
I was actually always wondering about this. Like, I would never do it actually halacha l'maisa, but like people were stuck on the highway. Like, they'll pull over and leave their car running and stuff like that. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. There are plenty of Rishonim who paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. I'm surprised that we don't say like Kedayu Rabbeinu Tam in the Shulchan Aruch l'smoch aleihem b'shas halchak. No one says that. So obviously that's not the approach that people follow. I'm just curious, like, why not? There are a lot of big people to rely on, but that's not the minog. Fine. So the person was eating these fruits. He put them on the roof to dry. So he's not allowed to eat them until he prepares them from before Shabbos. And similarly by the afarsikin and the chavushin, uvishar kol minei peros, and any other types of fruits. So heifi dami. So what's the case? Idechazu, if they were dry before the Bein Hashmasho started, so Ramalei Hazmana, why do you need to prepare them? Going into Shabbos, they were usable, they were mutter, they don't need preparation, they're just mutter straight out. Idechazu, if they're not usable, during Bein Hashemashos, so ki azmin lehu may have. The fact
that it's still muxer.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. Meaning, if you're preparing them for something which they're unusable for, that type of preparation doesn't work. And if you'll say that the cases where the owner of the fruits doesn't know if they're really or if they're not really, if they're usable or not. Let's say you have something like this in mukta, but it did dry before Shabbos. But the owner doesn't know that it dried before Shabbos. Mutter, so that's mutter even without a special preparation. You don't need to do hazmana to prepare that. Even if you know a person was unaware that it dried, it's still mutter. So what's the case? So it must be the case is Elarav, the chazu, it was usable when Shabbos started. The idchu, at a certain point on Shabbos, it became no longer usable. The hadar achazu, and then it became usable again on Shabbos. And that's the case where we say that if you do hazmana, if you prepare it, so it would be mutter. So the Gemara says, v'i amris ein mukta, and if you're going to say, ein mukta l'chati Shabbos, ramaruhu hazmana, then why do you need to prepare it? From the fact that you have to prepare it, it must be yesh mukta. So the Gemara rejects that and says, Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Yesh mukta? You're going to tell me yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos? And that's why he has to prepare it for it to be mutter? If that's the case, ki azmin lehu may have, how is it going to work even if he does prepare it? It shouldn't help even if he does prepare it, because Rashi explains that preparing works when something is mukta and you say, I have in mind to use it nonetheless. So that type of preparation works. But over here, at the time that he was preparing it, it was usable. So at a time when it's usable, you say, okay, I'm preparing it, then it becomes unusable later, and then it becomes usable again. The fact that I originally prepared it at the beginning is not going to help, because it was usable anyways. It didn't need my preparation then. If it's going to be usher, it's going to be usher because a little later when it became unusable. So even if you say, yesh mukta l'chati Shabbos, it doesn't make sense why this works, why preparing it works. So the Gemara answers, lo tzricha de achazu v'lo achazu. It was usable and not usable. What does that mean? De ikka inshi de achi, there are those who would eat it. De ikka inshi de lo achi, and other people would not eat it. It's partially edible. Some people would eat it, some people wouldn't. So azmin, if the guy prepares it, goli date. So he's revealed that his intent is to eat it. He's from amongst the people who would eat it. Lo azmin, and if he didn't prepare it, lo goli date, he didn't show that he's from amongst the people who would eat it, and therefore it's usher. So the case that we're saying that hazmana works, is for this case, where some people would eat it, some people wouldn't, and by doing a hazmana, by preparing it, a person's showing that he's from those who would eat it, or he's from those who, by not preparing it, he's from those who would not eat it. But this doesn't shed light on our question of whether or not yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos or ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says here. What I wanted to do, based on this, is to learn a little bit about hazmana. How do you prepare something for Shabbos? When does it work? When does it not work? So on the back here, I wrote up a little chart just to organize things for myself. Two of the cases here, we basically already see from our sugya. The first case is something which is not usable, and what I meant by not usable is it's not usable for the purpose that you're preparing it for. Meaning in this case, you know, a person has fruits which are wet and they're not usable, so we say even if you do prepare it, that doesn't work because it's just not usable. If the guy would say, I'm preparing these fruits to use as a bottle cap and they're usable as a bottle cap, that presumably would work. But the point is he's preparing something which is not usable for the purpose for which he's preparing it. And then we say that hazmana doesn't work. And hazmana, we'll see later on in the Beis Yosef, which is the top here of the second page. The Beis Yosef basically, from the Beis Yosef, it's clear that what hazmana means is preparing it as a one-time shot for this Shabbos. Meaning, because we're going to see later discussions about whether or not you can prepare something just with thought, just with machshava, or you actually need a maaseh to prepare it, or you know you use it before Shabbos for this purpose to prepare it. So that's one discussion, and then the second discussion is how long do you have to prepare it for? Do you have to prepare it just for this upcoming Shabbos, or do you have to prepare it for all future Shabbosos? So hazmana.
Sorry to interrupt, but
yeah, sure.
Actually, there's parsing is a Greek word,
okay.
From the Greek, and it refers to a berry on a kind of vine.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a berry.
Well,
I
have it.
So the Latin was. Parson, I'm just peach was parson. I'm just telling you.
Yeah,
so the
that's
Greek.
Right.
Greek has a greater Masora than
yeah, when it comes to
okay.
stuff.
So there you have it. So it's a
berry.
It's a berry. Okay.
Similar to a grape, but not a grape, but even berry that grows on a vine.
That actually works well, that it's similar to a grape, because the Gemara is using it in connection to dried fruits and mentions grapes.
Foxbrush, it's called, or something.
Foxbrush.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay, so that makes sense. It's comparable to grapes.
My wife makes it every shop.
Well, it's even more appropriate. I have a friend from Yeshiva University who would always make the dessert something from the parasha. So now that we're learning about these afaras again, it would make sense to have it for Shabbos. Fine. So that's the first case here. Something which is not usable, so hazmana, which is preparing it. Just for that one Shabbos, doesn't work. The other case that we see here from our sugya is the last case that I put down here, where some people would consider something usable, right? Some people would use it, some people wouldn't use it. That's our Gemara, and we say in our Gemara that hazmana works. But what's interesting is that the reason why our Gemara says hazmana works is not that hazmana prepares the object to be mutter as much as hazmana demonstrates that I'm the type of person who would use this. So it's like two different, I guess, understandings of why hazmana works. Is it that I'm preparing the object and now the object is no longer mukta? Or is that, well, some people would use this object and some people wouldn't, so by preparing it, I'm showing that I'm part of the category of people who would use it, and then the object is mutter even without, so to speak, preparing the object. So it's just a question of whether I'm preparing myself to make the object mutter to me or preparing the object to make the object mutter to me. I'm not sure there would be any nafkamina between those two approaches, but it's just interesting that's why our Gemara says hazmana works in that type of case. So the other case is here in this chart, and that's what we're going to see the Gemaras and the Makoros on here in the source sheet, is let's say you have something which is usable for two different purposes. So then the question is the purpose that you want to prepare it for a common usage of it or a totally uncommon usage of it? It's easier to explain that actually with the examples. So let's just see the examples. So the first source here is a Gemara in Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabba Bar Barchana Kamei De Rav. So Chorios Shel Dekel Shel Gadron Li Eitzim. So you have these branches of a palm tree that you harvested, you cut off the tree in order to use as wood, as firewood. And then you decided that you want to use them to sit on them. So sitting on them is mutter on Shabbos, and of course using them as firewood is also on Shabbos. So since the person originally, cut them down to use as firewood, so they're mukta. Now the person wants to sit on them, so what does he have to do in order to prepare them to be no longer mukta? So the Tanakhama says, tzarech lekshor, you have to tie them. In other words, you have to do some type of action to make them mutter. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer ain't tzarech lekshor. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says you don't need to tie them. And what we'll see that means is that it's enough to just think that you plan on using them. So machshava is enough. Hutani Rav Hu Amar Ra, Halacha Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Bar Barchana, who taught over this machokes, says that the halacha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that it's enough just to have a machshava to use it on Shabbos. Itmar, now we have a machokes amoroim, which parallels the machokes tanoim. Rav amar kosher, Rav says you have to do a masa, you have to tie it up. Ushmur amar choshev, it's enough to just have a machshava. Rav Asi amar yoshev, Rav Asi says you can sit on it from before Shabbos, and by sitting on it, that shows that you have in mind to use it as a chair, and that's sufficient. Afal pishalo kishev, afal pishalo kishev, even though you didn't tie it up and you didn't have a machshava, just the fact that you used it for that purpose already shows that that's what you're designating it as. So the Gemara says, Bishram a Rav.
Are you tying one or two together, or three together, or is it big enough for one? I'm just wondering when you say tie it up.
I was assuming that you're tying multiple ones
cushion. No, that's what I thought. I'm just wondering. Yeah.
That's what I assumed. I don't know why I assumed that, but that's what I assumed. So Bishlam Rav Huda Amar Katana Kama. So Rav, we understand, he holds like the Tana Kama that you have to actually tie it up. You have to do a masa. Ushmuel Nami Huda Amar Kriman Shimben Gamliel that Machshava is enough. Ever Rav Asi the Amar Kaman. Who does Rav Asi hold like? He's the one who says you don't need a masa or a machshava. It's enough to just actually use it for that purpose from before Shabbos. So the Gemara answers Huda Amar Kihai Tana. He holds like the following Tana. It's interesting because the following Tana is talking about the halachos of carrying on Shabbos, not about mukta, but you will see the similar idea. The Tanya Yotzin v'Pakurin u'v'Tzifa b'Zman shetzva'an b'Shemen v'Karchan b'Meshicha. So some type of band-aid, some type of wool piece of cloth that's being used as like a band-aid. So as long as the person previously, you know, put it in oil and, you know, tied it up with some type of string, so then that turns it into an article of clothing, and then it's mutter to wear it outside in the Rishas HaRabim. If a person didn't do that, then in Yotzin Bahen, you can't just place this band-aid on yourself and walk out in the Rishas HaRabim, because it's a problem of carrying. But if you wore it for, you know, just an hour before Shabbos, for a little bit of time before Shabbos, so then it's considered to be an article of clothing just by the fact that you used it as an article of clothing from before Shabbos, even though you didn't do a ma'aseh and you didn't have a machshava to designate it as clothing. Doesn't matter, the fact that you wore it as clothing, that's already sufficient. So the Gemara compares the case of Hotza'ah to the case of Muktza, and says that's the basis for Rav Asi, that once it was used for that purpose before Shabbos, so then it's not going to be a Muktza anymore. So that's one Gemara. Now there's a second Gemara, which the Rambam is going to pass on like both Gemaras, and that's going to be a problem, because they're seemingly contradictory. So the Gemara says here, source 2, later on in Shabbos, Pam achas halach Rabbi l'makom echad. Rabbi once went to a place, umatza nidbach shalavanim, and he found a pile of stones. Amar l'talmidav, he said to his talmidim, tzu v'choshru, k'day sh'neshiv alein l'machar. Just go ahead and think, so that we can use them tomorrow. Just think, you know, mentally prepare them for tomorrow, and that's sufficient. V'lo v'tzrichon Rabbi l'ma'asa. Rabbi did not require actually doing an action. Rabbi Yochanan amar, hitzrichon Rabbi l'ma'asa. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi did require a ma'asa. My Amar, what did he tell them? Rabbi Ami Amar, it's Uve Lomdum Amar. He told them to put them in order, to like put one on top of the other, whatever. So there, Rabbi Yochanan says that he did require a Ma'aseh. So there's one more Gemara that I just brought here, but the main two Gemaras are those first two, but the Mishnah says in Shabbos here in Source 3, Ha'even Sh'al Pi Achavis. If you have a stone that's on top of a barrel that's being used as the lid for the barrel, so Mata Al Tzida V'hino Feles. So now you want to get something out of the barrel, so you sort of tilt the barrel on its side and the stone falls, but you can't pick up the stone and move it because it's Mukta. And we'll see later, the Beis Yosef says that Hazmana for this stone doesn't work. It's not enough to just think that you're going to use this stone for this one upcoming Shabbos. Right, that's not going to be sufficient. Fine. So those are three Gemaras which talk about Hazmana. So on the first two, the Rambam seems to contradict himself. So the Rambam says here in Source 4, Nidbach shel avanim, shechashav alav mibod yom. So you have this pile of stones that a person just thought to use mibod yom. Im ramdum mutter reishiv alayen ramachar. If he put them in order, so then he can sit on them. Vimrav aser, and if not, he can't. In other words, he requires a ma'aseh. He paskins like Rabbi Yochanan in that Gemara, that when it comes to the pile of stones, if he wants to sit on them, so that requires a ma'aseh in order to prepare it. But Chariyos Shel Dekel, the Rambam says, these branches of the palm tree, I assume it should be Shegodron, Shegodron Le'etzim, V'nimwach Alein Me'er Shabbos. He originally cut them down for the sake of firewood, so they were Mukta, and then he just changed his mind, and he wanted to use them on Shabbos. So V'nimwach Alein Me'er Shabbos Le'yeshiva, Mutter Le'taltalon, it's Mutter to move them just by fact that he was Nimwach, that he changed his mind and decided to use them. B'cheinim Yashav Alein Mibod Yom, and also if he actually sat on them from before Shabbos, mutter l'taltalon. So the problem is that the Rambam paskins, when it comes to these branches of the palm tree, that a machshava is sufficient to prepare it. When it comes to a pile of stones, so there he says that you actually need a ma'aseh. So
what did he say that
he says you have to line up the stones.
But he has to do something on them.
Well, it just says Nimlach Alayan, he changed his mind. So it sounds like you don't actually need a mass, that's sufficient to just change your mind.
Oh,
you
changed his mind that
it
would, you want to
pass it,
right? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So why is it that by the pile of stones, so there he needs to do a mass?
Okay, fine.
So that's the question on the Rambam. So there are two different answers to this question. So the Magen Mishnah gives the first answer, and the Mishnah Brura is also going to quote the answer of the Magen Mishnah. So the Magen Mishnah writes, Yishlit Moa al Rabbeinu. So we can ask on the Rambam, Rama Pasak Amara Command Matzrich Ma'aseh, Shekasav Im Ramdom. How come when it comes to the stones, so there he requires an action. He says he had to put them in order. So the branches of the palm tree are different. Branches of a palm tree are sometimes used for sitting on and are sometimes used for firewood. If you just had them lying around, they wouldn't be mukta. They're only mukta here because the guy specifically cut them down from the tree with the intent to use them for firewood. So he made them muktzah by that intent to use them for firewood. V'zehu shehizkir kein b'davka, u'mipnei kach, machsheves yeshiva motzia midei machshava d'ra'etzim. So his later thought to use them for sitting on is going to remove them from the original thought that he was planning on using them for firewood. Aval nidbach sharavonim reka d'koyer yeshiva. A pile of stones are normally never sat on. They're not used as a chair. By the way, it just would seem to me that a pile of stones would be better to sit on than a branch of a tree. But I would just think practically. But just the metzias that the Magen Mishnah is describing is the opposite of what I would have thought. But he said that branches of a palm tree, you know, some people will sit on them, some people will use them for firewood. But a pile of stones, no one would ever sit on them. Maybe that's like, you know, sometimes they have these buildings where they don't want anyone to like congregate on the ledge, so they have like these little like rocks coming out of any like flat surface. I know.
Yeah, that's probably what it means by limdom, that if you arrange them so that they're flat and you can sit on them, then that's fine. But otherwise, maybe they're rough and more.
Right. So I think that's going to be along the lines of the Aruch HaShulchan. We're going to see that. Yeah.
I mean, you make mats out of palm leaves.
Wouldn't that be
shimmy?
If you're sitting on a stone, would that be
shimmy? Tiltul menatzad, meaning normally you're allowed to move muktzah in an indirect manner. Mm-hmm. So why do we have a whole question here of moving the stones? Maybe it means that a person actually wants to pick them up and move them somewhere to use as a chair. But you're right, if a person would just sit down on them, that should be fine. Mm-hmm. First of all, if they don't move, then for sure it's fine. You can touch something that's muktzah. But even if they move, it should be tiltul menatzad. It should still be okay.
So why can't you lean on a tree?
Because that's a different gzeira, that you can't be mishtamish be'ilon, I think, because we're afraid you're going to grab off
right,
a branch.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be the stones are there naturally. So you have no makshava of what they are. So maybe they're b'cheskat muksa.
Okay.
And the tree cutting the branches, you've decided the status.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, the branches became usher because of his thought to use them for firewood. And he can undo that by the thought to use them for sitting. And the pile of stones, so he says, the last line here, no one would ever use a pile of stones to sit on. That's why you need an action to show that you actually plan on using it to sit on. So that's the answer of the Magen Mishnah. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a different answer, but just as an introduction to the Aruch HaShulchan, it's worthwhile to see the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch basically, you know, quotes from the Rambam and has the same contradiction. The Shulchan Aruch writes here in Source 6, Chorios shel dekel shektotzam l'sreifa, that you originally cut down for the sake of using as for firewood, muktzim heim v'asar l'tautom, they're muktzim, you can't move them, yoshev areyam ma'atmi v'od yom, but if you sat on them from before Shabbos, then mutr reishiv areyam v'shabbos, you're allowed to sit on them on Shabbos, v'kol shekinim kashron reishiv areyam, certainly if you actually did a masa and tied them in order to sit on them, or you thought about sitting on them. So afilu b'chol, that's an additional point. He's saying that even if on Erev Shabbos you thought of using them as a chair for Erev Shabbos, you don't actually have to have the thought of making it into a chair, I'm going to sit on it on Shabbos. It's enough to think, I'm going to sit on it, you know, later this Friday afternoon. That's already enough to turn it into a chair. So the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam that Machshava works by the branches of the palm tree. And then the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam again here in Surah 7 when it comes to the stones. Aval nidbach sharavonim, afal pisha chashav alav mibod yom, even though you thought about using them from beforehand. Asr reishay v'alim kein romdom, per sidrum, you have to put them in order, you have to have done a masa. But the Ramah argues in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah says, v'yesh omrim didin avonim kedin chorios, v'chein ikar. So the Ramah says that even stones, it's enough to have a machshava. So the Mechaber follows the Ramah, that you need a maaseh by the stones, and the Rambam argues and says that it's sufficient to have a machshava in both cases. So,
if you have a machshava on a stone, then you could pick it up and carry it?
That's what the Rambam is saying, Yeah, it's a big kula.
There's a big kula. I mean, a stone on a field, and, you know, there's an error and everything like that, you can pick it up and carry it, wow.
That's what he's saying, I think, yeah.
Never learned.
I mean, we're going to see that there are those who argue on the Ramah, so it's not so clear that just as Ashkenazim.
But picking it up for permissible use.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Right. Fine. So,
What? For throwing in cars and chariots.
Yeah. Well, that's Mazik. That's a different battle.
Making it up is all right.
That's fine.
Yeah, but, you know, they have it ready. You know, they're ready. They've thrown it a little bit already, right?
Like the story about the box of rocks with the little stickers in the Sarah story.
I'm sure that I'm sure the Vedats doesn't authorize this.
Well, no, the end of the story is that the same guy saw another box and baked the Nabrak with big rocks and with same stickers and said, well, you know, what's doing here? It's big rocks. He goes, well, we're here at the Shirim of the Chazon.
But the thing is that even if a person avoids the Mukta issue with the rocks, you have the Mazik issue with the rocks, and you have the Sakana issue with the rocks. So
no way out of it.
Right. Yeah. Fine. So the Aruch HaShulchan gives a different answer to this question within the Rambam. That's why I wanted to see the Ramah first, because the Aruch HaShulchan is going to claim that the Mechaber and the Ramah actually aren't arguing, even though it seems that they are. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, "V'emes l'fian yosdaiti ein kavanas haRambam chal." So he rejects the previous answer. Even by the pile of stones, he claims, Aruch HaShulchan claims, the Rambam would agree that it's enough to just sit on it from a little bit beforehand. Meaning, even the Rambam would agree, the Aruch HaShulchan claims, that you don't need a maaseh to prepare the pile of stones. So then why does the Rambam say that you do need a maaseh? It's just understood that it has to be fitting to sit on, right? Like you were saying before, if it's not fitting to sit on, you know, nothing helps. Right? If it's not fitting to sit on, then sitting on it doesn't do anything. Even thinking to use it doesn't work. Kamuvan, understandably, doesn't work. The nidbach shavavanim, a pile of stones, mehima misudarim begova harbei, if they're piled up very high, harei ein ruuyim liyeshiva. So it's not because it's spiky like I thought, it's just because it's so high, you can't sit on it. So you have to put them in order so that they're usable as a chair. Nothing helps if it's not right to sit on. And once you make them usable, you put them in order, and now they're usable as a chair, then you don't need anything else. Because a masa, of course, you need a masa anyways to make it usable, and once you have a masa, you don't need anything beyond that. Something which is not fitting to be used, which can't be used for what you want to use it for, so you have to do something to make it usable. But something which is usable already, like the branches of the palm tree, so then just the thought or actually sitting on it beforehand works. There's no machokas. If they're usable as a chair, even the Rambam agrees that just machshava works, just like it works by the chorios. And even the Rambam agrees to that. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, the Mechaber and the Rambam agree that the Mechaber is talking about a case where it's not usable without a masa. So you need the masa, not as a form of preparation, but just as a form of making it usable. And then once you do that, you don't need any additional machshava. And the Rambam is talking about a case where it already is usable, and then a machshava is sufficient. Fine. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the answer of the Magen Mishnah. But then the last line he adds again, the answer to the Magen Mishnah is that it depends if something is normally usable for two purposes or not. That if you have something like chorios, which is normally used for two purposes, either for something which is usher on Shabbos, like firewood, or something which is mutter on Shabbos, like a bench, a chair, so then machshava is sufficient. But if you have something like stones, which is not usually usable at all, so then you actually need a masa. So that Mishnah Brura quotes that answer, and then he concludes here with the last line, second to last line, towards the end here by the pei beis in brackets. He says, "V'im kein be'etzim shalanu she'ein omed b'shum pam liyeshiva ela lahasaka." So our wood, which a person would never normally sit on, so ba'inan shi'asa b'hem masim yivod yom, then you need a masa. Chumoshakasa b'sif chav beis l'inyan b'kas. That b'kas is a reference to it's in the same category the Shulchan Aruch quotes together with the stone that was on top of the barrel that we saw here in the Mishnah on Shabbos. right, where we said that hazmana doesn't work, and the Mishnah Berurah says, "Dolmahani b'mash yichdav shabbos zel," that if you have something which would never be used for this mutter purpose, so it doesn't help to just be miyached it for this upcoming Shabbos. But what does help, what the Shulchan Aruch says there does help, is to be miyached it for all future Shabbosos. So if you have something which is normally never used for the purpose for which you want to prepare this object, so then just a machshava for this one Shabbos doesn't work. You need either a maaseh, or you need a machshava for all future Shabbosos, and then it would work, even by this category.
I wonder what kind of etzim you were thinking about. That's a log. I mean, people can sit on a log.
Right.
You know.
Right. When I was in Camp Moshava, the one in Pennsylvania,
right.
So we would go on trips all the time. We would sit on logs. That's where we
right.
sat. Those are the benches, the lunch tables, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Must be thinking about kindling
wood, right. Yeah. Like, those kind of wood you would gather.
Yeah. Yeah, you would need to tie up a bunch of them even to make it into a chair. I think it comes up in Brachos that the palm trees apparently, I mean, I've never actually witnessed this because I've never saved a lulav for long enough. When I'm done with sukkahs, I just sort of, you know, like
right.
put it there on the aron, and just I never had it long enough. But apparently Rashi there says that if you leave the, it's not relevant that I've never kept it long enough. Rashi says if you left it on the tree apparently for longer, so then eventually it would harden and turn into a piece of wood. So I assume it remains a similar size to the lulav. If it remains a similar size, then you would need to tie together a lot of them.
But you're not talking about a palm tree at its position of birth.
You want an open side.
Well, the palm trees in Poland and Lithuania.
Okay, well, he's trying to explain I don't know what they had in Babel either. He's trying to explain the chorios shel dekel.
They
do that palm trees in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So they said they were very bad dates. I mean, they had, in fact, they gave you shilshul, I think. So they
said that's true. The Gemara says that, yeah. How did they manage to learn Torah? First, he thought it was so. What was the story there? First, it was so cheap. He's like, why aren't there more people learning Torah? It's so easy to get your food. And then he had it, and then that night didn't work out so well. And he said, how does anyone learn Torah? So, yeah.
Right. The dates are strong. Much better than the ones in Bumble were very bad,
yes.
bad quality. But
yes.
They had
right.
bad date trees, but the Mr. Burr certainly wouldn't have date trees in
Ukraine.
Right.
Once again, he's using the local environment
I was wondering about this type of thing recently when I was talking to some high school students about the importance of getting enough sleep. And I told them that there's a contradiction in the Gemara that Tosis points out. One Gemara says that Hashem created the nighttime for sleeping. And another Gemara says that Hashem created the moon so we would have light for learning. So Tosis asks, is the night meant for sleeping? Like one Gemara, is the night meant for learning? That's why we have the moon. So he says it depends. He says the longer nights, the shorter nights are meant for sleeping. And the longer nights are meant for a person to add on a little bit of time at night to learn. But so I said to the high school students I was speaking to, I said, you see from there that the shorter nights are meant entirely for sleeping. And how long are the shorter nights? And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm from New York, I'm in Toronto, shorter nights are still, I don't know what, a good 7, 8, 9 hours. So I said, you see from there that even the minimal amount of sleep a person's supposed to get is a good 7, 8, 9 hours, whatever it is. So one of the kids took out his smartphone. One of the kids took out his smartphone and looked up what the shortest night was in Bogo. It was like a little under 6 hours. So there went my whole speech went out the window. Anyway, so so then just the Mishnah Berurah says here in source 10 here in Siman Shin Ches, he says that the Magen Avraham argues on the Ramah and says that Evan Chomer Mechorios, in other words, the Evan is something which is normally not used for the purpose you want to prepare it for, and then Deba'ina Davka Yichud Ra'olam, that it requires preparation, the Machshava works, but it requires a Machshava to use it for all future Shabbosos. So, so one more thing I wanted to see, and then plugging it into the chart, just the definition of hazmana. Our Gemara used the term hazmana. So we saw that there's an idea of machshava, there's an idea of masa, there's an idea of using it on Erev Shabbos for that purpose, of planning it to use it just for this one upcoming Shabbos, or to have in mind to use it for all future Shabbos.
Is there a difference between hazmana and a muktzah with Shabbos? Now, is the muktzah, are they the same type of muktzahs, really? In other words, if you don't prepare something from the beginning, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
If you don't prepare something from the beginning, right? That's moksha, right?
If it's moksha, it's not usable.
Moksha not usable.
Okay.
When you have like the fruit and stuff like that go back and forth, right? When it's moksha, right? Is that the same type of moksha? You can't touch it, you can't use it, or you can't move it, you know? Or is it a conditional type of moksha, depending on what happens?
Well, you're talking about at the time the thought say it rains on the fruits that I left on the roof?
It's a conditional moksha. If it dries, it's okay. If it doesn't dry, it's not okay. I mean, you don't have anything else like that, really.
Well, at the time that it's not usable, it's moksha. Correct. I mean, at the time that it's still wet, it's mukta. When it dries, then that's the question of yesh mukta or ain mukta.
Let's say ain mukta. We're asking ain mukta.
So if you say ain mukta,
so then it's not mukta anymore.
But that's for, I assume, I'm just thinking out loud, but I assume that's for a different reason than hasmana. Meaning, there
it's
we say...
It's a different type of mukta then, if it's a different reason, right?
Well, the heter is for a different reason, arguably, meaning... The reason why something is mutter if I do a hasmana.
Hasmana is like whatever you do b'mor yom is the one that defines what's going to happen the rest of the day, right? Rest of Shabbos.
Okay. Oh, so I'm not sure I'm understanding correctly, but are you suggesting that when something's mutter during Bein HaShemashos, the fact that it's going to be mutter for the rest of Shabbos because of the principle of Ein Mukta is because somehow the fact that it's mutter during Bein HaShemashos is viewed as an automatic hasmana.
Right.
Interesting. I never thought of that, but I could hear that you want to suggest that's the lamdas. The lamdas behind Ein Mukta l'chati Shabbos you're suggesting is that if it's mutter Bein HaShemashos, that's viewed as an automatic hasmana.
Right.
Because if a makshava to use something works, so then, why should it be any worse, the fact that it's automatically usable when Shabbos started? I hear that. Food, I mean, I need to digest it and think about it, but I hear that as perhaps the lumbus behind it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So just in the last minute, so the Beis Yosef defines, or from this Beis Yosef, we see what the definition of the term hasmana is. He says, V'hadde ein hasmana mo'el le'evan, la'asosa klid, is the evan that's on the top of the barrel, the barrel cover. So hasmana doesn't work. Hainu b'she'eno miyachad alikach. That's when you're not miyached it, I guess in quotes, miyached it for that. Aval kol she'yichdor yachasos bakri v'chayotzei, then mutter l'taltala, d'lo gara mimachnis v'lo kupaso ofar. It's no different than another case where a person brings in dirt into his house, so that's also like he was preparing the dirt. Shosef akol tshachav kedar l'kaman, v'hu she'yichdor yachach v'olam. That's if he prepared it for, you know, forever, to use it forever. Aval yichdor l'shabbos zo bilvad lo mahani. If he just prepared it for this Shabbos, that doesn't work. D'hainu ayid meniach evan al pichavis. That's the Mishnah we saw of the stone on the barrel. The nasa buses will never also, even the barrel becomes a buses because the evan is mukta. But the all I wanted to take out from this Beis Yosef is we see what his definition of hasmana is. Hasmana is a preparation for one Shabbos. Fine. So I just made this chart here because I think what comes out from these other Gemaras that we saw is that if you have something which is usable for two purposes, so if the mutter purpose is something which is a common usage, so then that's like the case of chorios. The branches of the palm tree, right? And then a machshava for just one Shabbos is going to work. But if the mutter purpose is not a common usage, in other words, like sitting on the pile of stones, so then you either need a masa, which we see works from the case of the stones, that if you put them in order, a masa works, or you need a machshava for all future Shabbosos, which we see from the case of the Beis Yosef just told us of this Evan that's on top of the barrel, that if you're miyachided for all future Shabbosos, that works. I just wrote here in parentheses because I was just curious about what the lumdus behind this is, whether you could argue that a masa is inherently viewed as a preparation for all future Shabbosos, because we know a masa works or a machshava for all future Shabbosos works, and I just wondered if the two are connected.
All future Shabbat, or is he saying forever? In other words, during the week, this stone is being used for that purpose. So in other words,
he's not saying
for Shabbos, he's saying this is now what this stone is. And that's it.
Right, yeah, I agree with that. Because the Beis Yosef's wording is V'husha yichta l'kacha olam. It doesn't sound specifically for that Shabbos, yeah. Right, it doesn't sound specifically for future Shabbosos. It sounds like that's what he's assigning. Yeah, I'm asking, sure. Okay, sorry for going a minute over time. Yeah.